Welcome to Hidden Battles, Destigmatizing Mental Illness, a weekly podcast where passionate advocates of mental health converge to illuminate unseen struggles faced by millions. Join Jeremy, Terrell, and Lorraine as they delve into candid conversations about stigmas, cultural risk, values, intersectionality, and mental health. Hear from mental health professionals and those diagnosed with a mental illness. Together, they put on the table the things people think about but are afraid to talk about. Get ready to embark on an insightful journey.
Listen weekly on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, and subscribe, like, and please share with family and friends that can benefit. See you on the journey.
Yeah.
Put your brilliant mind to my question. Can you define for our audience what idealism means? The impact of idealism.
So if you break it down, it's the belief in understanding what your ideas are or what the ideals are, what and which translate to mission,
so
vision,
and
values.
So would you say that politicians and industry or institutions or workforces have a specific concept or idealism? Can you equate that with a philosophy or a mindset mantra?
I think there's good scientists. I think there's great politicians. I think there's great all across the board. You name any industry, there's great people. There's idealists, and they come into these industries believing in an idea.
Right, and then people have
but
a tendency
they
to
hit
get influenced
that ceiling.
By those. Yeah, okay.
And then all of a sudden, their ideas become naive. You don't understand the way that this works. You look at Gabbard, right? She came in thinking that she had an ideal of protecting Americans from war, but the second that she went against Obama, she was shut out. And now she defected to the Republicans. But then you listen to what everybody's saying on the news, she's a crazy fucking nutcase.
So how does idealism impact people's values? How does it influence their values?
Yeah, let's say, right. Yeah. So let's just say that I think it comes down to intrinsic versus extrinsic. We develop, and it's and I don't care who you are or what you say. If you think for one moment that all the words, thoughts, and ideas of the world do not affect you or propagate you mm-hmm. into believing mm-hmm. something, you're blind.
Exactly.
It's just a blind area.
Exactly.
So if you bring yourself back to the roots, if you centralize the family, mm-hmm. and if by family, I'm not dictating what that looks like.
Right.
I'm not saying male, female, female, female.
Right.
What I'm saying is as the family or the two people with no kids or one person with no kids, if
right.
you're single
exactly.
by yourself, what is your mission and vision and values? So you create your ideas.
Exactly.
What your thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than allowing the world to project
mm-hmm.
themselves onto
mm-hmm.
you, you're projecting
mm-hmm.
your ideas
mm-hmm.
and your thoughts onto the world.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then so when we decide, you know, I think there's some new polling came out on Andrew Cuomo's show where he was talking about how like 60-some% of Americans believe that most Americans believe in the same thing. Yet we're so divided.
Right.
And every time you say Trump, it's a trigger word. Every
exactly.
time every time you say Kamala, it's a trigger word. Every time you say RFK, it's a trigger word. And then everybody becomes
divided.
Right. But then when you get down and dirty and you say, quit worrying about these ideas, what are my fucking ideas? What do I think is good?
So
then that's where convergence can happen.
Wow,
so
that's powerful. And I don't think this is being talked about, you know, mainstream. And that's why this podcast is so powerful. Because what we're talking about here is bringing the realization of the power to family. And they may not understand or realize that power, so that's why we're breaking it down in small pieces.
Right, and we haven't even got to the values talk yet. Well, but what we're talking about is how do you develop values. And that's what this whole entire conversation has been about, because we can get down and dirty about politics and all these other
hot-button ideas. That influences people's values.
Right, but those are things that influence intersectionality.
Exactly.
Those are things that influence areas of life, because if you're this particular party, this particular party, or religion or ability or gender or race or whatever, you tend to match those identifiers with a particular party. And then it's absolute loyalty. Even when we think about it, those things really don't matter. It's our children, our health.
Exactly.
Whether or not we're going to war.
Exactly.
How we treat each other. Exactly. Interstate commerce, business, all those things. Those are the real values that we need to be getting into.
Right.
And I was looking at some research that talked about that most people conform to 90% of the population's conformities and have various degrees of injection values injected on them, as opposed to what they want to do with their own lives. So when you and politics is the, in my opinion, is the culprit,
right?
Because there are agendas that both sides have,
right?
And so they start injecting this information into people, and what is it that the people really want, as you just stated, in their household? If there is a scenario where a family's child is raped by the father of that household, most people are gonna not want to have that child born because of the incest.
Sure.
Yet, if you talk about it, based upon what society says or what they're trying to say on the left or whatever you want to call it, I'm not going to, you know, pick it out. The audience knows, oh, I can't do that because I'm of a certain party.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yet, here's the crazy thing about the 99% of people in our society that really are listening to all this bullshit. And it's confusing them in terms of really getting to the core of what their really values are in their own homes.
Yes.
It's got to be like a nightmare.
Sure.
Think about it. Because our values are all different. We all value, the three of us, certain things, just baseline, bottom line. Mm-hmm. But then there's some other things we either value more, we spend more time on. You know, because those are things that are of interest to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yet, it seems like society is, media is like, value this, do that, do this, and if you don't, something's wrong with you. Do you have to take all these freaking drugs? What about doing things that are holistic? Mm-hmm. Okay, what are the alternatives? I went to my doctor and, you know, I'm dealing with diabetes, and I said, oh, what if I want to do that? Well, let me prescribe you this. He doesn't want to hear the alternatives that are out there, because he needs to get that prescription order into the pharmacy so they can make money.
Sure. You said a lot there, and there's a lot to break down with that. But I think what we really have to just try to get back to is that the mission and the vision, discerning truth. If you want to take pharmaceutical drugs and that's what makes you feel safe and that's what you do and you value that, then do it. If it's not, then try to find the alternatives.
Right.
It's obviously more difficult to find the alternatives because of censorship, you know, during COVID. There were certain drugs that were found to work well with the COVID virus, but were shut down. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on and on about the specifics of drugs and food and all those kinds of things. But if we stop getting caught into the conversation of the left, the right, and the middle and all that
shit,
and we bring the family back to the power structure, and we understand principles before personality, and we understand that Americans before party, then we're at a baseline that we can say, I'm gonna shut every piece of media off for a week, and I'm gonna sit with my family
Right. Families before party.
Yes.
Families first.
Absolutely.
What the hell is happening in my family right now? What are my family values? Yes,
exactly.
And see, people want to be told how to think.
Sure.
That's a part of conformity. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's easier. Where the government, we're going to do this for you. We're here as your saviors. We're think the way you do. So vote for us because we're fighting for you. And that causes people to conform.
Well, what causes people to conform are the lies and the promises that are never kept. Like, how many policies did Trump come up with that were actually followed through upon?
No.
You know, you get what I'm saying. It's like they tell us what we want to hear. Yeah. Like, here's your presence if you vote for me.
Right.
But then I get into office and then I do what the corporations want me to do.
So as an individual.
But you can operate side of that. I think my core point is that even though, and it seems daunting that you have these politicians and you have these corporations, that you don't have the choice of consumerism. Stop buying bullshit.
Right. And so people need to grab the bull by the horns and speak, instead of sitting back listening, like you said, to what you need to do.
Sure.
You should do this. You should do that. What is best for my family?
Well, let's take Black Friday and Cyber Monday or Sunday or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that those days are absolute scams, although we partake in them. We're waiting in lines and we're waiting for the 5 TVs that are for $99 or 83,000 inches long. And then we get into the store and then we're buying other shit that we didn't get the promise met. It's all a lie. Stop buying shit. You don't need this extra big TV. A 32-inch TV will give you the same propaganda that an 80-inch TV will. It will. I'm telling you. It's the same bullshit.
Some people feel good with that shit.
Sure it's they like, do.
You know, great. Brag, have proud people over.
But then
and you can get deals on that stuff.
But then if you can't buy the bread that you want to buy or the carrots or the organic. Exactly. So get down. That's all I'm trying to say is get down to the basics.
Right.
And get down and behave based on the framework that you set out as a family. If we value, you know, get a no-load Vanguard fund. Do you think I'm a fan of Vanguard? No. But if you want a consistent return on your money, give them your money. They'll give you a consistent return. But no, you're buying a TV. You're buying some shoes. You're buying some pants. You're buying some shirts. You're buying some bullshit.
That tells you what they value.
And also, you got $3,000 you spent on some bullshit.
That tells you what they value.
Exactly.
They value.
Right.
They value shoes over food.
But what
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, but I do. But what we're doing is we're allowing the propagation of any industry to tell us what we're doing. I'm asking the listeners to reverse that and say, you don't need 3 pairs or 10 pairs of shoes per year.
Right.
Like when I was little, we went to Kmart. We put our shit on layaway a month before school started.
Stop layaway.
And
they want
I know.
That money, right?
Of course so they would. Fun, of course they would. Of course. Money, of course. You know, so my mom made payments on it.
Yeah.
So then when school started, we had some school stuff. And then our last year's clothes was what we wore after school.
What was the key thing on mission? What were we saying? A few key words on mission. Because it ties into the values.
And can I say, it looks like we're talking about priorities.
Exactly. Do we tie that into mission?
Into values. That's a part of values.
If your mission is A, B, C, D.
I do agree with you.
Okay,
I do.
What the hell are we... So that's going to impact...
We have to be careful of priorities and values because values are something that we believe in.
Right.
Priorities are things that we do. They don't always match. We might value...
But they should match.
Right. They should match. So that's what I'm saying is, so when we're sitting at the dinner table and we're talking about like, hey, what do we want for Christmas this year? Do we want to spend $10,000 or $1,000 or $500 on Christmas? Or do we want to go get some shit away? Or do we want to have a food drive? Or do we want to invite all of our cousins
or
over?
Or do we want to take...
Or whatever it is, right.
X amount of dollars and invest it
mm-hmm.
in some sort of 401k or
right, exactly, you want to change exactly
the trajectory.
So if you value, if you value and you prioritize financial freedom,
exactly,
are you saving money or are you spending on some bullshit?
Exactly, exactly,
right.
There you go.
And so, okay, what were you gonna say?
Hold that thought. Conversation is getting great. We got to take another break. We're getting down to the 15-minute break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the fourth episode of Hidden Battles, Destigmatizing Mental Illness. I'd like to introduce my co-host, Terrell and Lorraine Newby, husband and wife. They're a beautiful couple. I think Lorraine wanted to start off by just kind of reviewing the mission and vision so far. Remember, this episode, we're going to go over the values. So go ahead and, Lorraine, hit them up.
Okay, so what we talked about in our previous podcast, we're setting the mission for Hidden Battles. We're setting the vision and also the values. So the mission that we all collaborated on, and Jeremy came up with the last statement. No, the mission is to deconstruct identity and taking culture risk. Jeremy, you want to explain that?
Yeah, so I you know, when we're off the camera and we're talking about different topics, I think that there's just going to be this conversation is what the hell does it have to do with what the hell?
Exactly.
And so, you know, we're going to continue talking about that. But remember, destigmatizing mental illness, if we're going to destigmatize it, we can cry and whine and throw the crybaby attitude out there that, you know, it's unfair and so on and so forth. But what actual behavioral steps can Americans or the world take in order to stigmatize mental illness? And then taking cultural risks, we've kind of reviewed this a little bit, is talking about how we can step outside of our comfort zone. So last episode, Terrell, you had talked about, I'm this potentially this affluent person, clubhouse member, and I'm fine, I'm happy. And then I kind of had this conversation about how, well, from a utilitarian perspective, if you're not paying attention to the world or you're not paying attention to your community, it could come back and bite you in the ass. So let's say that, you know, like we could take the coronavirus for example. Americans said, well, why can't we get the coronavirus vaccination first? Whether you're against it or not, it's not the point. The point is we're just talking about utilitarianism. So it behooves me to make sure that all the poor people or all the poor countries get the vaccination, for example, because if they don't get the vaccination and I do, it's going to continue to spread. And it's going to come. It's going to come bite me anyway.
Right.
And we could talk about diseases, communicable diseases, mental illness, substance use, and all these things. So, from a utilitarian perspective, and I believe, you know, I've hung out with really affluent, wealthy people. I do believe that there is this part of those folks that do want to be able to be helpful. You know, like whether you're working with sex trafficking, or child abuse, or substance abuse, it touches everybody. There's no demographic that's not touched. So when we're talking about our mission statement, what we're trying to do is get individuals, I believe, from what we come up with, is to get people to start taking an understanding of how you take small, tiny, little behavioral steps. Like last week you talked about, dude, some people can't afford certified organic for 30 days. Mm-hmm. Well, you may not be able to afford certified organic for 30 days, but you can buy an apple.
Right.
You can buy some bread. You know,
that's right.
You exactly can. It's yeah, one little step in the right direction.
Small steps.
It's just, and, right, or when you hear something that a family member saying at a holiday that we were talking about, just try to spin it a little bit and say, well, you know, I'm voting for somebody else, and here's why. Or right, just something, you know, just a little bit of difference. That's how I see it. What do you all have to add? Do you have a different interpretation of that?
The mission is essentially surmising what Jeremy said on the mission part.
Right. What to we're deconstruct saying. Identity.
Right.
And taking culture risk.
Okay. And so then, so what is the vision we talked about on the last podcast?
Well, our vision we came up with is we have a vision of people discerning truth, developing, and rebuilding purpose.
So, Jeremy, can you, like, break down what discerning is?
So, we're in a political hot button. We're a couple months away from the election. And so, like, you know, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, but, you know, let's talk about the conspiracy theory, right? So anytime you say something that's not of mainstream, you're automatically, and this is propagation, this is sociology 101, this is psychological manipulation 101. So if you say that there's chemtrails in the sky and they're putting chemicals to control weather, they say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. But like we said last time, there's been conspiracy theories that have been proven to be true, like Elon or... Mark Zuckerberg came out and published a letter to Jim Jordan saying that the Biden did influence the election by saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was hidden and it was not a Russian hoax. And then you also have the coronavirus information, and you look it up. I mean, look, do what you got to do, but look it up.
Right.
But in that spirit, and I'm getting to a point. So you say, you know, cancer in adults are up 79%. Is that a fucking conspiracy theory or is that the truth?
We really don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And so it behooves you. So if you want to destigmatize mental illness, if cancer in young adults are up 79%, is there a potential that individuals who are being diagnosed with cancer have an increase of incidence of mental illness or substance use problems? Because I can tell you, if I get diagnosed with cancer, I'm going to smoke some crack. I'm just playing, but you know what I'm saying? It's okay. Like you can't. So we're talking about intersectionality. Okay. We're talking about livelihood. And so what we're talking about is like discerning truth. So when you hear these supposed conspiracy theories, do you just listen to the dichotomy? Do you just listen to CNN or Fox or ABC LMNOP? Or do you actually go and do the research and actually research published books by honest scientists?
Right.
And I've got like 5 or 6 more conspiracies that are I've listed right now that are out there. Approximately 2/3 of American adults and children suffer with chronic illness, heart disease, obesity, thyroid disease, diabetes, so on and so forth. That's 2/3 of the fucking American population. If you listen to the Democrats right now, they're saying that shit's not true.
Okay.
But again, I'm trying to break it down to the basic level. Like you asked me to, he says, we have a vision of people discerning truth. What information do you receive from what channels, and are you willing to question what Aristotle said? The mark of an intelligent man is to essentially entertain a thought that you disagree with.
And so therein lies the critical importance and probably the basis of this whole deal that we're doing on the mission, vision, and now the values. Because it sounds like everything that you just talked about is based on an individual's values and their exposure to that from the time they were born. And their parents said, no, no, no to this. Don't touch that. I'm going to put this in my mouth. And so it starts, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, with what an individual is exposed in terms of their values. Because it has an impact on how they see things in life. Okay.
Sure.
So now we're at what I'm seeing is a critical point in everything that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, what does an individual value, and what is the predicate of what you value, what I value, and what Lorraine values? Go
so,
with that.
So we're getting ready to create our values.
Right.
Right. We're not asking the American or world population to adopt our values. What we're asking them to do is set their own value system up based on what their family is saying. And it doesn't matter what those values are.
Right.
And then whether it's work, the grocery store that you go to, the drug store that you go to, the podcast that you listen to, are they exposing their value system to you in a truthful way based on behavior that you can align with? So you might have 5 values as a family, but if we're listening to Hidden Battles LLC, destigmatizing mental illness, is there anything that converges? Or is there anything that I can add to it? So if I value health and my children Are the values that Hidden Battles are coming up with, are they valuing health? So there's a convergence of a value. So not only do I have my own family value, but I can rely on this podcast that also has health of the family. We haven't come up with them yet, but then I'm listening to them and they're giving me information. They're citing sources. They're citing, you know, and we have to even be careful because, you know, there was just some research done on cancer and biomarkers, and it was accepted across the cancer and professional industry, but they found out recently that it wasn't even true. It was a big lie. So even when you get scientific information that tells you something, you still have to be able to say, is this the truth, and be in a place of questioning. So whether it's food or medication or work or stress or cortisol or corn or chips or popcorn, and they tell you like eggs has gone back and forth, right and left, like eggs are good, eggs are bad, eggs are good, eggs are bad. Remember, they're not doing it. The food industry is pulling that science up to use it for a way, like with protein, like we talked about, as a way to use a sales, like they're quoting scientific research.
Right.
Scientists know that they're always in a state of learning. So right now what we know is eggs are good, or right now we know that protein's good, but in the future we might understand even more. So human beings need to have this state of mind, like I'm doing the best that I can based on my mission and vision and values to make the best decision that I can for my family. So and you have to have spirituality in there. If you are a family, and I don't care, has deep, dark atheist or bright atheist that you think that you are, if you do not have some form of spirituality, you're fucked. You're fucked.
So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and so you're saying, Jeremy, that individuals need to take it on their responsibility to fact check.
Absolutely. And what else are you supposed to talk about? You know, these family members, they sit and they're eating some frozen pizza up out of the fridge, and they're sitting there, they throw pizza around the table, and they just sit there saying, well, how'd school go today? No. Why don't you say something like, bring this shit up, talk about your values, and get your children to repeat it, propagate them into your family values, and propagate, like, hey, you know, we researched that this pizza brand was good, and it said on the app, the Yuka app, that it was good, but did you actually fact check Yuka? You know, I'm just saying, like, being in that state of not knowing and be comfortable, because I think Americans want to be a state of knowing and thinking that what we're doing is right because it's comfortable. But when you actually put yourself in a state of questioning and wondering, it's a constant conversation.
So then that goes to where we're spending our dollars. We need to know if that company, we need to know that company's values of where we're putting our money.
I would literally advise every family out there, and however you define a family, two dads and one child. I don't care what it is, but or one mom or one dad or whatever it is, that you think of things from a state of a business, and you say that the trajectory that we are headed, the relationships that we build, whether business or personal, based on these values, based on this vision, and that's why we're trying to do this in front of the audience, is so they can sit around their table and say, okay, maybe we're going to play this podcast and say, this is how they came up with the mission, this is how they came up with the vision and values, and this is how we move forward to get to the point, and I'll shut the fuck up, but then you have a basis. It's on the wall. It's in your dining room. Okay, well, if we decide to start shopping at this place, are we matching their values with ours? So if we say we're going to use some online shopping program, do they value the same things that we do? So yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, this whole topic on values is personal. And you know, it's not something that people are competing for, but it's really something that people want to try to adhere to and listen to when they need them the most in terms of being able to make decisions in their lives.
Right.
And in society, it's just the nature of the beast. Institutions, be it government, religion, advertisements, kitchen table conversations, shape the framework of what people perceive to be values. And then based upon that, they think, based upon what they hear, that that's what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
What are your values? We are sitting in here. We value the lives of people mm-hmm. who are suffering from mental illness. That's why we're sitting here.
Right.
Listen weekly on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, and subscribe, like, and please share with family and friends that can benefit. See you on the journey. That concludes Hidden Battles Destigmatizing Mental Illness podcast. Join in every week. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share.